I've titled this entire series, Living Out Our Faith, because a good portion of the book of James gives practical instruction for living out our faith. But a question that, as I was thinking about this series and kind of leading into this message, a question kept coming up that I was asking myself is, how do we live out our faith? And so my initial thoughts were going to actions. You know, what is it that we do? What is it that we actually do on a daily basis that's living out our faith? But the more I started thinking about the question, because it's just kind of circulating, just like, well, how do we do this? How do we live out our faith? As that question kept coming up, I kept coming up with different answers, and maybe a little more complex answers would come up. And you have to understand that throughout history, we have seen people trying to answer that question and then fall into traps. And here's what I mean by that. Some people have gone to answer that question, how do we live out our faith? And they take a very permissive attitude toward it. Well, because of Christ, we're no longer bound by rules. We're free. So we're free to do whatever because of grace. So there are some groups that have moved to a very permissive view. And then you have others that go the opposite extreme that are still full of rules. And everything has a rule, and it's very rigid and legalistic. How do we live out our faith? And I think throughout this series, we need to keep looking to answer that question, how do I live out my faith in Jesus? And when we cover a topic, we might be asking, how do I live out my faith in this area? But let's take a moment and look at faith. If you have been in church for a while, or as maybe if you've been in a church as a child, you might have been taught that it is by faith you've been saved. It is by faith you have been saved. Which is scriptural. I'm not saying it's not. Okay. By faith we are saved. Yes. But let's look at some scripture on that. 2 Timothy 3:15. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. That's kind of like a big verse when it comes to looking at salvation. This Ephesians passage, Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. If you went on a little bit further in verse 9 on that passage, it's specific. It is not by works that you're saved. By faith we receive God's gift of grace and are saved. Praise the Lord. Because if it weren't for grace, we'd be hopeless. And we just have to have faith. Another praise. There's nothing I can do to make myself better. I just need to have faith. We're saved. We're saved. Salvation is a salvation from our bondage to sin in this broken world right now, and salvation from eternal judgment of hell in the eternity to come. So salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. And again, that is absolutely true. That is absolutely accurate. But let's talk about faith. What is this faith? Another way to ask this, is faith a firmly held belief, or is faith an action, or is it both? Yeah, now you know where we're going. It's going a little deeper here. When we're looking at faith, is faith a firmly held belief? Is faith an action? Or is it both? John 3:16. Many of us have memorized this wonderful, wonderful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. As long, you know, I guess when I was younger, I would go to this verse a lot, probably the first one I ever memorized, and all I would think of is as long as I believe in Jesus, I would be saved. To believe was believing Jesus was real. So that was kind of one of the things as a kid, I was like, okay, Jesus is real. I believed he's real. I also believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross, paying for my sins, and he rose from the dead. I believe that. Both past tense, I believed and believe, still present. When John says, whoever believes will not perish, is it to believe Jesus is the Son of God, died and rose from the dead? Is that what is meant, to just simply believe on an intellectual level? I think when I was young, there was a push to get children to come and ask Jesus to come into their hearts. And I won't say it's all bad, because Jesus is standing at the door wanting to come in. But John 3:16, as it's written, if anyone believes in him, that verb to believe is not in the past tense. It's in the present tense. It's telling us that this is not some belief held in the past, a once and done type of thing. This is an ongoing and continual belief in the Son of God, Jesus. A continued, ongoing belief. So this very powerful verse that is widely known and understood points us to that continual belief. Can I go through life believing there is a God who sent Jesus, and by that I will be okay for eternity, as long as I believe that's what Jesus did, or God sent Jesus? And as long as I believe that, I don't have to change anything because I believe, right? Well, now I'm asking about actions. So is belief a thought, or is it actions? That I believe portion is something James addresses through his book. And in chapter 2 of James, we will look at further as we go on in our series, we'll look at that. James says, even the demons believe in God. So what then is different about our belief, our faith, than that of demons? I'm going to hit on another verse, and we're going to come back. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, believe me, there's a lot I can preach on this verse, but I'm going to get to the point. A big difference between our belief and that of demons has to do with lordship. We not only believe Jesus is the Son of God, but he is our Lord. Lord is another way of saying master. We are saying that Jesus is not only my master, but he has authority over all things. He is the master. Though Satan and the demons may believe in God and believe in Jesus, they reject them and their authority. They reject their lordship. And they hate anything that's associated with them, with him. So they hate us because we are created in God's image. So a part of our faith is that Jesus is Lord. The other part is that the belief in the heart. So we confess Jesus is Lord. We know and understand that Jesus has authority. He is our master. But the other part is we believe in the heart. Not just the mind, but the heart. You see, this is beyond head knowledge. The heart is the organ that brings oxygen and nutrients and many other things to the rest of the body. It's kind of like the source of life in our body. A person is really pronounced dead when there's no longer a heartbeat, right? When we believe in our hearts, when we have faith from the heart, it means that everything about us is impacted by that. Everything in us is impacted by Jesus being our Lord. Everything in my life is now impacted by my faith in Jesus as Lord of all things. Now, it's hard to talk about faith when without addressing, you know, the one passage in Hebrews 11:1. So forgive me, I'm bouncing around a lot in this, but it's good. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We have been told that we are free from the bondage of sin. We're told that. When we put our faith in Jesus, we are given freedom from the bondage of sin. But I still struggle with it. I have been told of a heaven that we look forward to after death. But I haven't seen it. I have been told of Jesus working miracles upon miracles. This morning in Sunday school, miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. But I didn't witness any of those miracles with my own eyes. I've been told of Jesus dying on the cross, then rising from the grave, but I didn't witness that either. In fact, I'm told Jesus ascended to heaven and will return at the second coming, and I haven't seen him resurrected. And well, he hasn't returned yet. I'm getting at there's a lot of things that we hold true, know to be true, that we have not physically seen. And I give God the praise that we are able to read and know all these things because they're all written in our Bible. We believe them with faith, even though we haven't seen them personally. But at the same time, I have seen the result of people living in faith and seeing God move in tremendous ways. Kind of like feeling the wind but not seeing it or seeing where it comes from. We see its effects. We see the effects of our Lord and His Holy Spirit. We see a lot. We know He's real. We know it's real. Then there's other things that we just take by faith, because we believe. So what is written in the Bible we hope for because of our strong belief in it. We are certain even though we don't always see. 1 Peter 1:8 through 9, another verse that came to mind. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's just one of those verses to ponder on a little bit. We might not see him, but we love him and believe in him by faith. Now we're going to change course a little bit again. So still in Hebrews 11, we're given what is called the hall of faith. These are, in Hebrews 11, they're kind of just portraits of people living out their faith. I'm not going to read, but you can go back and read through it if you would like. But by faith, Abel worshipped and offered a pleasing sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark and his family was saved. By faith, Abraham obeyed God and went to a land that God would show him. Abraham didn't know where he was going to end up, but by faith he went. By faith, Abraham offered his son Isaac that God tested him on. By faith, Moses rejected his place in the Pharaoh's household. By faith, Moses kept the Passover, trusting that the blood sprinkled on the doorposts would protect them from the destroyer of the firstborn. And I could go on and on, really. But what was it for them to have faith? For them to have faith, they trusted God and they followed his instructions. So faith, in this little portion, we see faith results in action. Whether obedience, worship, trust. So when I get back to that question, how do we live out our faith? Yes, it is a belief. But a belief that is more than just thoughts. It encompasses our being as faith impacts everything in and around us, and it definitely impacts our actions, as our actions reflect that faith. It has to when we call Jesus Master. Faith leads to action, obedience, worship, trust. And when we dive into James, we're going to see some pretty practical steps. Because James was seeing a people who like to think of themselves as followers of Christ, or like to think of themselves as Christians, but they simply weren't living it out. They weren't living as Christ taught. Yes, salvation is by faith, but that faith will result in tangible and visible changes, or visible behaviors and actions. Romans 3:28 says, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law." So we have to be careful. Faith is not equal law. Here the Apostle Paul is sharing the importance of faith. It is by faith that we're justified. And to be justified means that we are in right standing with God. By faith in Jesus, we're in right standing with him. There is nothing you can do to earn it. Observing the law was never intended to save. The law couldn't save because no one was perfect enough to keep it other than Jesus. There isn't enough good works that leads to heaven. It is by grace through faith in Jesus. Does that mean we throw out the law, though? Well, if we look at verse 31, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. We don't throw out the law. The law helped us to see God's expectation of how we are to live. I realize that Paul tells us in other places that we're no longer under the law, and that is under the letter of the law. Yet at the same time, God's revelation in the law helps us to identify what sin is. It helps us identify sin. Though we might not be under the letter of the law, we are living the principles behind them. So what does that look like? Good thing you asked. If you were here when I went through the Sermon on the Mount, that series, you would have seen the law not only upheld, but maybe a little broader application made to it as well. Jesus didn't do away with the law, but helped us see it a little differently. You see, the law was only able to restrict actions and behaviors that were considered sinful, but Jesus brought out the fact that you can still be sinning even if you didn't violate the act itself. So what do I mean by that? Jesus, in that Sermon on the Mount, he has a number of statements. He says, you've heard it said. One of them is, you've heard it said, you shall not murder. That's one of the Ten Commandments. But then Jesus goes, but I tell you, anyone who hates his brother will be subject to judgment. You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. And Jesus goes on, but I tell you that anyone who looks at another lustfully has already committed adultery in their heart. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And Jesus goes on to say, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. But what does that have to do with living your faith? In light of what we know from God's revelation, we come to know that our actions, our thoughts, our demeanor, our values, our attitudes, they're all important to God. The God we serve has called us to live holy lives. Leviticus 19:2. Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. 1 Peter 1:15 through 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. The call to be holy is in many, many passages, both the Old Testament and the New. This isn't optional. This is essential to those of faith. You see, faith calls us to action in addition to our belief, and such action is holiness. To be holy is to be separated from sin and set apart for God. To be holy is separated from sin, but also separated for God. Take a moment to think about that. In our faith, we are to separate ourselves from sin. Now, the law has helped us identify what sin is. But what about set apart for God? You know, if a sacrifice was considered holy, it was a sacrifice that was set apart from anything else that was only to be for God's use. You know, we are to be set apart for just to be used by God. And that is a choice. Is he your Lord and Master? Are you willing to be used or directed as he sees fit? You see, the law might have brought some holiness in actions, but the law, plus Jesus and his Holy Spirit, he brings out kind of a new level of holiness, kind of like a holistic. There's more than just actions. It encompasses everything in us. Jesus said, you must be reborn. To be born again of the Spirit is to become new. And I realize we still have our fallen nature to contend with, but we must resist temptations that come. But when the old is gone and the new is here, living out our faith is living in such a way that everything is about Jesus. Everything we do and say should be honoring or glorifying Jesus in some way. So Psalm 19:14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The words we speak, the thoughts and the attitudes we have, are they reflecting God's holiness? Are they honoring to our Lord? How about Colossians 3:17? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, the words we speak, but also what we do. Our actions, our activities that we take part in, are they reflecting God's holiness? Are they honoring to our Lord? Now, you can almost go too far with this and say, well, I can't participate in football because I don't think that's honoring to the Lord. Now, going too far with that is going into an opposite direction, but how are we in football or something else? How are our words? How are our actions? Are we reflecting God's holiness? When the ref makes a bad call, do you say a blessing, a prayer for the ref? But living by faith, saying that Jesus is my master, I am his servant, everything I am doing is reflecting him. The words I speak, the thoughts I have, the attitudes, do they reflect a submitted heart to him? Now, fortunately, God's helped us out a little bit here. He gives us his spirit to guide and direct us, because we can't do that on our own. We know by the law that was given that no one could hold it perfectly, so we are not going to be perfect. But at the same time, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, or he ascended to heaven, he promised the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come. There's going to be times where we fail, but I will tell you that living out our faith, we realize that repentance is very much a part of living out our faith. Seeking forgiveness, turning away from the unholy things that are dishonoring to God. We must keep in his word and be open to conviction, because there's oftentimes that little voice, little Holy Spirit nudging, saying, oh, what you just said there, that didn't reflect Jesus. That didn't reflect the love of our God. There's a conviction there at times where I have to say, you know what, Lord, you're right. That wasn't right. So we repent. We turn away from the things that bring God dishonor. Stay in his word. But honestly, I am seeing a lot of action and changes. But there is also a more relational dynamic. So again, when I'm asking that question, how do we live out our faith? Well, there's more. What about our relationship with Jesus Christ? I have a relationship with him. To be spending time with him, to be in prayer, time in his word, reading the revelation he's given us. To have fellowship with Jesus is where we find a difference. Yes, we are to live God-honoring lives in all areas, but it doesn't have to be a chore. It's not a heavy burden when our heart is simply wanting to remain in God's presence, to have him lovingly guide and lovingly speak truth, lovingly walk beside me. It's not a chore. Jesus is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He came, he dwelt among us, and he is with you, he's with me. Do you really want to know him and be with him? I'm asking, you know, when we look at God with us, he wants to be with us, but it's oftentimes us that are putting up walls. Do you really want to know him and be with him? Do you want more of him? Scripture tells us to be filled with his spirit. Is it your desire to have more of him? To live out our faith, part of that is having that relationship like a friend who you just walk shoulder to shoulder with, to be real with. I think another aspect of living out our faith has to do with service as well, and I'm not going to take much time with that, but like Isaiah said, here I am. Use me, Lord. So living out our faith has also an aspect of service, willingness. He's my master, so I need to be willing to go wherever he says and do whatever he asked me to do. So you've now gotten a little taste of my brain going different directions and trying to answer a small question. How do we live out our faith? When we open up the book of James, there will be many specific things that he points out to help us and guide us and what living that out looks like. Some instances, what it does not look like. How are you doing in living out your faith?